7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, begin transmission.
Okay, are you ready? Are you a good kitty? Yeah, sit down.
Yeah, that's a good kitty.
Okay, it's 1930 UTC, the time at which the Dubious Goals Committee always begins. My name is Tobe. I'm the chairman of this, the Dubious Goals Committee. And here we are, starting to show hi. Hi, fluffy face. And of course, as I was sitting down here with the equipment all plugged in and getting ready to do our broadcast, a kitty had to come and sit down over here on my lap on the blanket. And now we're doing kitty. Ooh, are we not doing kitty stuff? Pippa has just gotten up and she's walked off the blanket. Is she going to come? Yep, and here she comes back. Oh, hi. Yes. Oh, that was a fun excursion, huh, Pippa? Yes. Hello, baby. You're a good kitty. I know what kitties think. Kitties think, oh, it's time to do the radio. Okay. Yes. So that's what we're doing. I've got a cat sitting here. And I have to pet the cat. What does that mean? Well, that means we're going to get to some other stuff here in a minute. And today I was hoping to go outside. Because it's nice and cool. It's like 60 degrees or slightly less. What is that in metric? Like around 15 degrees? 17 degrees? All you need to really know is that it's less than 20 degrees Celsius, which is like the magic number. That means I can go outside. And it's cool today because it's been raining, and it is raining now, just a little bit, just enough to prevent me from being able to go outside. That's what I kind of wanted to do today. We could have gone to Harrenhaven today, Peppa. Well, not you, because you'd try to eat everybody. You would try to eat all those ducks, because you like yummy ducks. Ducks are so yummy for a kitty, aren't they? Yes, they are. My cat's cat food is a certain brand, the green pea and duck formula. My cat has sensitive kitty tummy and has to eat the special kitty food, and it is made out of ducks. So, over in the bathroom where the food and water bowl is, I've cut out pictures of ducks from nature magazines. I get a couple of Department of Natural Resources nature magazines, and there's often pictures of ducks, so I cut them out and I put them by Pippa's food bowl because she likes to eat those yummy ducks. Aren't they yummy? So I'm afraid to take my cat to Harrenhaven, because if she realizes that there's ducks in that water, she might give them a chomp. But kitties don't like water. This cat sure doesn't like water. And I don't know how she would get to the ducks, but, you know, it doesn't matter. Technically, pets are not allowed at Harrenhaven. Although I am tempted to take Pippa sometimes. Maybe we can see marmots. Maybe we can see a deer or some turtles or some frogs. I could see my cat chasing frogs. Pippa really likes crickets because they jump. A cricket will get into the house and it'll be walking along, and Pippa will see it moving, and that will make her excited. So she'll go over and check it out. And then, of course, she has to bat at it. You know, it won't move. It'll sense that, uh-oh, there's a predator near, and the cricket will freeze up. And then Pippa will be curious, oh, why did it stop moving? And so she'll tap at it with her paw, and that will cause the cricket to jump, which in turn causes the cat to jump. And she thinks that's fun, and She goes, "Ooh, what's jumping? Oh, I better chase it some more." So jumping stuff is my cat's favorite kind of thing to chase. Regular bugs, yeah, they're kind of interesting for Pippa, but not nearly as exciting as a cricket, especially when they jump. So I'm thinking if she likes jumping stuff, she might like frogs. "Do you think you like frogs, Dinker? Do you think you like the froggies?" She's not paying any attention. So I could just see my cat seeing a frog jump and then losing her mind. "Whoa, what was that? I better chase after it." "Yeah, you better get those froggies, Peppa. That would be so nice." So, eventually, I will take Pippa to Harrenhaven. She'll wear her harness and her leash, and we'll walk through there and we'll look for froggies, huh? Okay, now the cat is flopping over. I have to rub up a kitty tummy. Got to pet the kitty tummy. Oh, it's so warm. It's keeping my fingers nice and toasty warm. That's a good kitty. Yeah, ragdolls. These are mighty floppy cats. They like to flop. Yes, you're a flopper. You're so floppy. And when I do this, I don't have a free hand. I can't drink my tea. I actually made hot tea today, but I haven't had a chance to drink it. I got it all ready to drink, and then I came down here to start doing the show, and then somebody had to come over here and sit in my lap and say, "Oh, you got to pet me up." That's you. I'm talking to you, Pippa. I'm referring to the fluffy kitty. You're the fluffiest kitty. Fluffy, fluffy business. So anyway, while I sit here and deal with my cat, I might as well update you on my progress on my latest musical instruments, plural. Right, so what have I done? I still haven't finished up the neck of the cigar box guitar yet. But I did spend some time working on the cigar box itself. I've got it notched out so that the neck can go through it, because this is a neck through body type of design. And my workmanship here isn't exactly the highest quality. Some things didn't quite line up right, and I had to do a little extra filing here and there to make things fit. And one problem I have, well, it's not really a problem, I need to drill some sound holes. I need to drill some holes in the top of the box to let the sound out. And I do have some hole saws somewhere down in the basement. And I'm trying to decide, do I want to drill like one big hole, two small holes, blah, blah, blah. I think two or more small holes would be best, just to maintain some, you know, structural integrity of the top of the box. So that's something I probably should do today, is find my hole saws. I think I know where they are. And then I'll just punch some holes in the box. And I hope it goes well, because this is a nice box and I really don't want to cosmetically mess it up too much. Not that I'm overly concerned, but, you know, I will put the minimum effort into maintaining some kind of cosmetic excellence, so to speak. What else do I need to do to the box? I'm trying to think. I think I'm almost ready to go. Things I still need to do on the neck are drill the holes for the strings in the tail. I have to drill holes in the head for the tuning machines. And I have to cut a slot at the nut and put a nut in. And I've got a thin piece of plastic that I'm going to use for a nut. And I also have to, before I even do that, I gotta find something to use as a bridge. I've got little pieces of wood. I've got little, like, scraps of walnut and other stuff that I could fashion a bridge out of. But part of me sort of wants to use something else, something creative, something interesting, to give this particular instrument some kind of personality. So I don't know what that's going to be yet. I need to find something that's about this big. Tobe gestures with his fingers, a useless gesture on the radio. And then I'll be just about done. Then I just need to string it up and start playing it. I have made no progress on other instruments, namely my electric, or I should say my solid body cigar box guitar. There's still some things need to go on with that. And, of course, I have not started or even thought about a kalimba. But I am thinking about getting the kalimba kit from cbgiddy.com, as I've mentioned. And I've got two really neat little cigar boxes that I think will make great kalimbas. Now, here's where it gets even weirder. Last night, I was reminded of another little project that I started some years ago. And that is the danbao. There is a musical instrument from Vietnam called a danbao, or a danbao. You might hear me say it either way. And these instruments exist in other cultures, but I am mostly personally familiar with the Vietnamese type. And this is an interesting stringed instrument in that it only has one string. And the way you play notes on it, it's not fretted, it's just a loose string. It's just, well, it's not loose, it's under tension, but it's just this one string. And you play it, you get notes out of it by playing the harmonics. So you just touch the string in certain places, like the middle, and it sounds. And these are usually electrically amplified to pick up all the little harmonics. And so it's just basically a string and a magnetic pickup, a coil. And then if you want to play any note between the harmonics, the string is attached to a bamboo stick, which effectively acts the same way as a whammy bar does on a guitar. And so you hit the string note, and then you can bend up or down to it using the bendy bit. Now, the first time I saw one of these, I thought, hey, that is actually pretty cool. I could make one. And I thought, I think I will make one. And I started by making one that is approximately half scale, just, you know, as a proof of concept. So I took a piece of 2x4, which is about 2 feet long, or about 60 centimeters long. Okay, there goes the cat. And I cut a notch out of one end so I could stick a tuning peg up through it and tune it. Okay, the cat just left, so I'm going to go grab this thing. And here we have it. And I don't know if you're going to be able to hear this at all, because this is purely acoustic. There's no resonator. There's no box. It's not electric. It's not electrified in any way. And it is small. So let's see if you can hear it. Yeah, you can probably barely hear that. I'm holding the microphone right up to it. And so let's see if I can play the first harmonic. There it is. There's a good one. Yeah, I realize you can probably barely hear that, but what's the whole point of this? I'm wondering if I should build a full-size one now. The full-size ones are a meter long or a little bit longer. And so I just need a longer board. I need a regular guitar string and a coil. I can have somebody make me a pickup, no problem. Having the pickup really helps. Not only just to hear it, but also in order to play those harmonics. So I may revisit this project soon. And if you're curious as to what the real article looks like, what a real Danbao looks and sounds like, drop it into YouTube. I do know there are videos of plenty of people playing a Danbao. That is spelled D-A-N space B-A-O. And they're cool. Also, last night, as I was working on stuff and thinking about things, you know, I was thinking about cigar box guitars and stuff, and I thought, well, you know, I'm going to own a cigar box guitar pretty soon, and maybe I should figure out how to play it, because I will take this first one, and I will tune it pretty much the same as I have tuned my weird fruitcake tin sitar thing. And so I thought, you know, maybe I can get a jump on my education. Maybe I can get a jump on my ability to play. Maybe I should learn the blues scale for this type of instrument. You know, this type of string setup. And so I thought, yeah, I'll do that. Now, I didn't. Don't get me wrong. I don't actually know the blues scale. I had to look it up, and I wrote it down. Because I gotta learn the blues scale if you're gonna play the blues and be a cool blues guy like Harry Larry or my friend Lash. Harry Larry, he's got a cool show right here on and on radio. I believe that's on Fridays, right after the Dubious Goals Committee. So on Fridays, be sure to stay tuned for Something Blue with Harry Larry. And you can learn all kinds of cool things about music. And so, yeah. So last night I was actually practicing a little bit the blues scale. I practiced for all of 12 minutes. And I was using the copper slide, which I'm putting on my finger right now so that I can demonstrate this. Now, the reason I'm using the copper slide is because it just fits over the last joint of my finger, the first joint, and it's small enough that I can bend my finger so I can get it to touch individual strings a little bit better. But we'll get into that in a minute. The blues scale. Now, I got to remember it. Where's my list? I put it over here. Okay. It is the root, then three half steps, then whole step, half step, half step, three, and then whole. So this is what the blues scale sounds like. Wait, I screwed up. Say one, two, three. Okay, so it's here. Okay, I think I got it. That's almost fever. You give me fever. Fever! Fever in the morning. Fever. So yeah, you can play cool blues stuff using the blues scale. It's cool. And it also reminds me of the closing theme music to Wide Wide World of Animals, which goes something like this. And then etc., etc. But right now, let's just do a little blues improvisation while the cat plays with a battery behind the door in the bathroom. I got tricky there. I went to the middle string. And that's why I like using this little slide, this little copper slide instead of my big glass slide, because now I can play on the middle string and do other strings and stuff. Sort of lost it up there in the second octave, but that's okay. We're just learning, we're just practicing. Kind of missed those bass notes. Let's try that again. Where are they? Oh wait, it's the same scale on this string, so it's... whatever you want to do it. Can't do it wrong. Let's play the blues. Do something cool. Yeah, so what have I learned? One, when I'm having to play all three strings, I do like having a shorter slide. But using the copper feels a little weird. It's kind of gritty. It's strange. What do I need? And this is something I recommend to you. Play with multiple kinds of slides. If you're doing this, you know, get a glass slide. And you don't have to buy a glass slide from, you know, a store. You can use a bottleneck. That's the traditional thing. Get a beer bottle, break the neck off, sand the edges down or whatever. Stick it on your finger and you're good. Also, glass medicine bottles are good. Traditionally, a chorocedon bottle has been a favorite of many musicians. Small glass bottles, think paint bottles and that kind of stuff. Put it on your finger. Try pieces of conduit. Try pieces of copper. Try all kinds of things. And now that I know what I want, I'm realizing what I need is a very small glass or metal slide that's chrome. So like a socket from a socket set that's short that I can fit on the end of my finger will be good. The other thing about the copper one is it's a little bit light. It doesn't have the mass of the glass slide. So I'm thinking if I use a socket, that'll put more weight there. That might bring the feel back. Although the funny thing is now that I do this with the copper slide, I'm starting to get the feel for it. And now the cat has knocked her battery over here. You want me to roll the battery? There you go. Go get it. Go fetch the battery. That's good, baby. Now she's bringing the battery back to me. Okay, it's battery cat time, I guess. What am I doing? I'm throwing myself off now. And that's the other thing. There goes the cat flying around. I'm starting to love this business. What is this? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The 6th fret. We have these two half steps that are right next to each other that I love. This one. I'm loving that because that's the first time in all the scales we've been messing with that we get to use that note, whatever it is. You know, in Mixolydian and Aeolian and Dorian and what other scales, that raga that I was playing, we don't get to use that note, but we do get to use it in the blues scale. Hooray! And that is all the time that we have for the Dubious Goals Committee, and that's good because I'm just about to lose my voice. You've been listening to the Dubious Instrumentation Committee, a show that airs every single day at 1930 UTC right here on Anon Radio. My name is Tobe. Tune in tomorrow for more wacky instruments. Bye-bye.
This is the end of the line for me. The end of the line, yes.